I want to talk about the Father. And this is really the heart of our faith. It's the heart of the gospel. And so many people misunderstand it. I'll say it this way. Jesus did not die on the cross so you could go to heaven. Yeah, I really did just say that. He died on the cross so that you could know the Father. Heaven just gets thrown in. You have to understand this. If you're going to grow in your faith, if you're going to mature, you have to understand that you are a child of your Father. This is what the gospel is. Turn to John 14, 6, and we'll look at it. Very familiar text. It reads this way. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Listen to this sentence. "No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus says he's the way, he says he's the truth, and the life. Concerning who? Relative to what? The Father. Jesus is the way to the Father, the truth about the Father, and the life in the Father. In other words, we need Jesus because we need the Father. See, this is the essence of our sin problem. Genesis 3, when it all blew up, Adam and Eve, because of their rebellion, were alienated from Father. Jesus comes and does what only Jesus can do to restore us back to the Father. Jesus is the way because left to ourselves, we are lost and alienated from Father. Jesus is the truth because left to ourselves, we are deceived about the Father. And Jesus is the life because apart from Christ, we are dead in our sins. And he is all of these things to us because we need the Father. The salvation that Jesus brings us to the Father. And sometimes people are offended by this particular verse because it seems so narrow, you know, so limiting. You know, Jesus is making a pretty fantastic claim, isn't he? He's saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So that's very exclusionary, isn't it? At the same time, it's also incredibly inclusionary because in Jesus, all are welcome. Red, white, brown, good-looking, ugly, fat, skinny, stupid, smart, doesn't matter. Jesus is the way for all who would call upon him to know the Father. So it's exclusionary on one hand, and it's inclusive. I kind of hate that word, but it's inclusionary on the other. Is that a word? Inclusionary. Jesus introduces us to the Father. And see, people view Jesus in different ways. They view Jesus many times as a way to a new improved version of themselves. But Jesus didn't come and live and die and rise again from the dead for a new improved version of you. He came to introduce you to the Father. Jesus is not the truth about self-improvement or self-actualization. He's the truth concerning the Father. Jesus is not the life that I think I'm entitled to. He is the very life of the Father himself. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. Jesus as our life. Jesus as the life as it's revealed in the Father. And this kind of piggybacks on what we talked about last week about authentic Christian experience. How do we really experience God? How do we learn to walk in His presence and enjoy His presence and sense that He's with us? I mean, if we have fellowship with the Father and the Son, it's really weird to talk about having fellowship with the Father and the Son if you have no experience of the Father and the Son, isn't it? If I say I have fellowship with Pablo, but then we never are in each other's presence and experience, you know, I need to experience Pablo's Pablo-ness in order to say that I have a relationship with him. This, by the way, this is for free. You can't do church online, okay? You can't sit in front of a screen and watch a sermon and call that church. You got to get with flesh and blood people, in their presence, people that you can see and touch, people you can read their face, okay? Now, if you're sick and you can't go, it's better than nothing. But don't make the internet your church. Just everybody go like this. You're right, Pastor Jeff, about that. You're right about that. This is one of the byproducts of COVID that drives me crazy. Some people are still doing church online and not going to church. Did you know that? Because of COVID. You got to get with people. You got to rub up against them. You got to be able to see their expression. You need to be able to touch them. Pray for them. I'm glad I got that off my chest. So I want to focus on Jesus as the life that's in the Father, because he has to be the way and the truth before he can ever be our life. And it's only in Christ as our life that we truly discover freedom, joy, and satisfaction. Listen, the life that Jesus gives in the Father is superior to every other kind of life that there is. It's superior to the American dream life. It is. It's superior to all. Doesn't it just make sense that the very life of God that has been expressed and revealed and manifested in the Son of God is the best life that you can embrace? There are many folks who accept Jesus as the way and the truth, but who struggle with the life part, the living it out, the experiential part of it. They struggle with the relationship with someone who they cannot see or touch physically. They struggle with this experiential living out this life of the Father, because the scripture teaches us that the life that Jesus gives us is superior to all other kinds of our fallen life. The life that God offers is a joyful life. It's a contented life. It's a life of hope and satisfaction and purpose. It's a life that's accessed by a living and dynamic faith. But there are many believers who live in insecurity and in fear and in disillusionment. And that is not God's will for you. Something is off. Church, hear me. Something is off if your life is characterized by chronic insecurity and fear. Something is wrong. I would suggest that you're putting your trust in the wrong place. Jesus offers us the life of the Father, and it's the best life that there is. And it's for everyone who will take it. A lot of us live as though the cross and the resurrection never happened. We say we believe it, but we live like it never even happened. And all of life is like crisis management all the time. Right? Can I get a witness? I'm not saying sometimes we don't go through hard places and hard times. That's not what I'm saying. And all of us are weak and we need each other. That's another reason to be part of a local body and be part of people's lives and know people so that they can help you and help carry the burden. But The life that Jesus offers to us, the life in the Father that he offers to us, transcends circumstances. You can experience the life that Jesus offers in spite of your circumstances, in the middle of your circumstances. I mean, Jesus had some pretty tough circumstances in his life, didn't he? So, I promise this message is going to turn in a minute. I believe there are some reasons why there are so many believers who struggle with Christ as our life. And all of them are really rooted in a misunderstanding of what the gospel is. But the main reason boils down to this. Many believers view Jesus as a means to an end, rather than the end itself. They view Jesus as a means to get something else, instead of Jesus being the highest prize of all. See, because when you get Jesus, you get the most valuable thing that there is. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus said that he is the life that is in the Father. He's not the means to some other life. He is the life. Some scriptures. Look at 1 John 1, 1 through 4. You guys out there today? Okay. I just want to read it. And before I read it, I want to preface it with this remark. We say it a lot around here. The Father wants you to know him. He wants to be known by you. Now listen to this text. This is John the apostle writing. And remember, so he was an eyewitness of Jesus. He literally touched Jesus. He literally heard Jesus. He was there at the cross as Jesus was executed. Listen to what he writes. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There's a lot in there about relationship and fellowship. So you need to stop thinking in terms of Jesus came and lived and died so that I could go to heaven when I die. You need to start thinking Jesus came and lived and died so that I can be brought back into fellowship with the Father and the Son and with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why Jesus came. You could say it this way. Jesus came so that you could have fellowship with the Father. What a promise. Do you feel that? Do you feel the weight of that? Some points here in 1 John 1, 1 through 4. In verse 1, he refers to touching Jesus and seeing Jesus as an eyewitness. And his message is not based on a dream or a vision. He is an eyewitness to the word of life, to Christ himself. So John is writing what he literally experienced in the first century as he walked with Jesus. And he's wanting to convey that, the reality of it, to his readers. And we are his readers, some 20 centuries removed. Look at verse 2 of 1 John 1, 1 through 4. John repeats the phrase, made manifest or revealed. So Jesus' coming is revelatory, and the life that he offers is eternal. Okay, he calls it eternal life. He doesn't use the word heaven. He uses the word life. It's a relational term. I love Dallas Willard, the great scholar at USC, theologian, master writer. And he always said, the eternal kind of life. Jesus came to reveal that eternal kind of life that doesn't fade away, that doesn't become corrupted, that you can absolutely experience by faith when you put your trust in the resurrected Son of God. He gives you his very eternal kind of life. He gives you that. This eternal kind of life, this speaks to the nature and quality of life that is in fellowship with the Father. In verse 3 of 1 John 1, 1 through 4, he says, the proclamation of the message is for the purpose of fellowship, relationship with one another that flows out of fellowship with the Father and the Son. Fellowship. It's a good word. Fellowship. Have you ever noticed that when you discover someone is a believer, you have an instant bond with them? I mean, just like boom. There's a divine thing happening there. Fellowship and eternal life are linked. They live in the same neighborhood. You could say they hold hands. We were created for this, for community, for relationship. Do you know why you were created for relationship? And by the way, those of you who just think, well, I'm just a loner and I don't need people, a lot of times that's just an excuse, okay? I'm that way. My wife will tell you, I'll tell her frequently, I'm just going to move into the mountains and never come back. See, I see it on your faces. You weren't created to be a loner. You were created for fellowship. You know why? Because you're created in the image of God. And God is relational. God is a community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in a Trinitarian community. God the Father enjoys God the Son. God the Son enjoys God the Spirit. God the Spirit glorifies God the Father and God the Son. Jesus came and lived and died and was raised from death to invite us into the same fellowship of relationship that God the Son, God the Father, and God the Spirit share with each other. The world has nothing like that. Oh, man. Did you know God takes great delight in our enjoyment of Him, His Son, and He takes great delight in our enjoyment of one another because of our common faith? God is a relational God. You can't do Christianity on your own. It was never designed to be that way. Somebody want to say amen? Anything? Anybody? Anybody out there? You guys crack me up. You were created for relationship, not isolation. Look at verse 4 of John 1, 1 through 4. It says that John writes these things for our joy. Well, what was he writing about? He's writing about fellowship with one another and fellowship with the Father. I'm writing this for your joy because this is where real joy is found. It's found in the life of the Father that we share with one another. And he takes great delight in our delight in him and each other. This will heal all kinds of stuff in your life. Look at 1 John 5, 11 and 12, kind of on the same theme here. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, or the eternal kind of life. I'm going to say it again. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about a quality of life. Do you see it there? This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So verse 11 says the word testimony. He said, I think that's what he says, and this is the testimony. Yeah, that's a solid word. It's this message of this eternal kind of life is grounded in Jesus' birth, death, life, death, and resurrection. He says this life is in his Son. And then in verse 12, it says this divine life is in the Son, because apart from the Son, there is no life, as God designed it and intended for it to be. Look at John 17, 1 through 3. See, when I talk this way about life and fellowship, I get this. I feel like John Wesley, when he writes, I heard the gospel and my heart strangely glowed. There was like a warming. You feel that warming. You hear truth and it hits your ear. And you, how many of you know what I'm talking about? When you hear that you're loved like that, you know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. He's real. Listen to Jesus. Now, Jesus is praying here. It's called the Great High Priestly Prayer. He's praying this right before he goes to the cross. So he knows his time is short. Listen to what he prays. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Listen to this. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's a good definition of it, isn't it? So Jesus is praying right before he goes to the cross, so the most important things are coming out, right? When you know you're going to die, you're not going to talk about football or hunting. Okay? When you're about to die, you're going to say the most important thing that's right top shelf in your life. And Jesus knows he's about to die, and he says, this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, and the Son whom you have sent. Jesus defines this life as relationship with the Father, knowing the Father. This is our greatest need. It's our highest joy. The story of the gospel is that God himself, in the incarnation of his Son, enters human history to demonstrate what eternal life looks like, and to take upon himself our sin so that we can die with him in order to be raised up with him to this new kind of life. We are invited to share in the glory and fellowship of the triune God. Nothing compares with this. I want to close with a quote from C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. This is what he writes. How many of you have read Mere Christianity, by the way? Handful? Here's what he writes. Now, the whole offer which Christianity makes is this, that we can, if we let God have his way, come to share in the life of Christ. If we do, we shall then be sharing a life which was begotten, not made, which always existed and always will exist. Christ is the Son of God. If we share in this kind of life, we shall be called sons of God. We shall love the Father as he does, and the Holy Spirit will arise in us. He came to this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life that he has by what I call, quote, good infection. I love that. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else, to share the life of God. I think I'm done. I got other stuff here. I don't think I even need to say it. Can I suggest that the eternal kind of life that Jesus offers us in the Father is what sustains and satisfies and brings joy even when the circumstances of your life are hard? The life of the Father is not dependent on favorable circumstances, money in the bank, or tranquility in a nation. Listen, y'all, we need to decouple our happiness and contentment from what's going on in the political sphere. This is all a temporary kingdom anyway, okay? I'm as patriotic as anybody in this room. I just want that to be known. I am. But there is no salvation in either of these two candidates. It's gonna be bad either way. I'm talking about responses. This side wins, the other side's gonna respond this way. This side wins, the other side's gonna respond this way. Okay? And I certainly have my opinions about that. All I'm saying is, they're not your savior. Jesus is. Put your faith in him. Nations rise, nations fall. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. Leaders rise, leaders fall. Our God remains the same. God's still on his throne. No one thought the Roman Empire would ever go anywhere. I can't believe I'm chasing this rabbit. But the Roman Empire, after, 1,800 years, fell. Jesus is still on the throne, right? And I'm not saying the United States is going to fall. I'm not saying that, but it could. So all I'm saying is, where's your faith? Where's your trust? Don't put it in a politician. We experience this divine life by faith and having our affections and loves transformed in accordance with the Father's will. We are joined to Jesus. He is in us and we are in him. And the Father longs for his kids to know him, enjoy him, and be satisfied in him. I want to close with Luke 12:32, one of the greatest verses in all the New Testament. Fear not, little flock, says Jesus, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that fantastic? If you're able, I want to ask you to stand. And I want us to read this verse like we actually believe it. You ready? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Didn't that feel good? Okay, you can be seated. Let's take a moment and pray. And I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to embrace the life of the Father by faith that Jesus died to give to you. Embrace it by faith. Just believe it like a little kid. You know how little kids believe everything? Man, if we could just be like a little kid and just believe the promises of God, everything would change. It would. Father, we thank you for your life, for the fellowship that we have with you, that you call us sons and daughters, that you've given us a seat at the table. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we come to the communion table this morning, would you reveal yourself once again in the bread and in the cup? Father, we know We know that you love us because of what Jesus did. And may we see it once again and feel it once again as we share in the communion table. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.